begun. Please go ahead, recordings have begun.
Lovely, thank you, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday, the 20th of May, we have Jeff Newman, Tatjana Kramsova, Avery Doria, James Bladel, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Glenda Saint-Géry, Margie Milam, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Alex Kikuru, David Maher, and I believe Paul Diaz. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you. This is Jeff Newman, chair of the PDP work team. It's, as was said before, May 20th, 2010, a regularly scheduled weekly call. So what I want to start to do today is to just go through, so the agenda would be basically talking about the initial, just generic logistical discussions about the initial report and recommendations, and then dive into a couple of them. I want to thank Avery for responding to a few of them this morning. But the main issue is that we're having is that there is kind of a, with the exception of Avery's couple emails this morning, there's been kind of a lack of response or comments on the initial report and recommendations. So I kind of want to throw it out to the group as to what we want to do. We have several options. You know, one option is that we ask staff to take what the discussions are and then just write the options down, you know, saying, you know, for this area we could recommend, or we could recommend either A, B, C, or, you know, none of the above, but, and then just put it out for comment so that we can get comments back from the community on which of those options they believe is plausible, or none of them, and suggest another, a completely separate one. I suppose that's one option we could do. We could spend the next 10 days trying to, someone could volunteer, or people can, you know, really go through it the next 10 days and put their own recommendations in. As chair, I was trying to avoid myself going in and putting recommendations in, but if people don't have an objection, I could certainly go through and put some options in as well. So I just want to hear from, you know, thoughts on that. I was trying to distance myself from that because I'm not, you know, we do have a registry rep and we do have, you know, other reps. And I'm really supposed to be the chair and kind of neutral on this, but, you know, I really want to kind of push some of this work forward a little bit. The other option we do have, which is not one that I'd like to take, which is, you know, we do have the option of saying, well, we can't come up with a report in time for Brussels, but we'll do it the next time, or we'll put it out for comment. So we certainly have options, and I want to listen and hear what you all think and see what the best path forward is. I see Avery has apologized for the minimal last-minute nature of her responses. Avery, there's no need to apologize. You're the only one that's actually, you've responded. So thank you for responding.
Actually, I responded to Avery's response also.
Oh, okay.
But about a minute before the meeting.
Ah, sorry. All right. Well, thank you, Alan, for responding to that. And, you know, one of the things I do want to go into then is to, yes, since there have been responses on those, after we talk about this discussion is to go into those specific responses so we can discuss and make sure we all understand it and make sure the report reflects those thoughts. So, Alan, is that why you had your hand raised?
It was to try to answer your original question of how to go forward, yes.
Oh, good. Okay, yes, please.
Looking at the options you gave, I agree that it would be really nice to have something for Brussels, so if we fail, we should fail running, not just by stopping. I would have no problem with you or anybody drafting the possible recommendations, you know, trying to do it based on whatever the conversation has been to date, and maybe adding parenthetically when it wasn't really clear if we had come to closure or not. If the group had enough time to read it and comment on those things before it went to press. I don't think we have that luxury. It's going to take you several days to do it, and at most we'll have one more meeting to discuss those kind of things. And my experience is we will run out of time. We will not make it all the way to the end. So I think the only viable option is to, instead of providing a recommendation, provide the set of ones that, you know, between you and Marika, you are the ones you think have been presented by the community. Because I just don't think we're going to have time to refine whatever comes out of this quick process if we want to get it published for Brussels. So it's not optimal, but I think that's the only way forward.
Okay, thanks. Aubrey?
Yeah, I sort of was going to say something very similar to Alan, but I wanted to ask a question because I'm not clear on what next. And by the way, when I apologize, I keep meaning every week to say I'm going to sit down and I'm going to block out a whole bunch of hours to do this, and then somehow or other I find myself a week before the meeting going, oops, I didn't do anything, let me get ready, and therefore I do something minimally and late.
Join the club.
That's happened 3 weeks running now. And so I could say quite honestly that, yes, I intend to find that chunk of time in the next week and et cetera, and I have as much confidence in myself as I assume anyone should. But Alan's point of, you know, you guys, assuming you all have the time, going through and basically, you know, you have a pretty good understanding between the two of you of certainly where we seem to be going on most things if we don't do it. So that certainly is a good part of the solution. The next step on this in Brussels is going out for community review, because if that's the case, and if there are places where there really are unresolved issues that after all this time we have not resolved either through differences of opinion or increasing levels of apathy, perhaps bringing those out and sort of, you know, requesting community opinion on those issues. Because we haven't done, and Marika, correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't done what the working group has done yet, right, of having put our stuff back, having gotten some really detailed, good answers that we have then had to work through one by one, and we've been doing it for over a month now. But we haven't gotten there yet in this, correct?
That's correct. That will be the idea, indeed, of, or the objective of getting the report out and then having a public comment period and then go through that process, indeed, of looking at the comments and going in through the details.
So it seems to be quite reasonable to take anything, because I think Alan's also right, anything we haven't resolved by this point, even if I put in my answer and, okay, my answer usually is good enough to provoke a disagreement from someone, but even if we go that far, we won't have closed anything. So on anything that you guys don't see the, you know, this, the consensus has been building around this, but it hasn't closed yet kind of note, putting in the options and asking those who review it, because people care about this one in the outside community, and I think we will get, you know, it won't be more than 10 people perhaps, but we will get some very detailed recommendations of answers of different things to put in, if it's at all like we got on the working group side, where we got some real, you know, some real suggestions and some real comments. So I would say, yeah, finish it as best we can, show the options where there still are options, publish it, and get the community into it. Thanks.
I think you'll not only get the community into it, you'll get working group or working team members to respond because of an absolute deadline where we may not have carved out the time for this.
Right. And so that's the intention in Brussels to actually go over that. So to specifically, you know, we're not going to have enough time to go through the entire report as a presentation. What we're going to have time to do, essentially, is to really stress the items where we need further comment on because of any of the reasons. And, you know, some of it is not that we haven't by this time come to conclusion. The one thing we haven't had time to do yet is to actually go through this from beginning to end with kind of a holistic view. We've kind of tackled the pieces and parts. And one thing I'd like to do while we're soliciting public comments on it is to take that holistic view and go back and say, okay, now that we've put out a report on the pieces and parts, let's look at this from the whole and see if what we put in the pieces and parts makes sense when you put it all together.
I think the preamble or introduction needs to say that that's the stage we're at, that we haven't done that.
Right, so there will be inconsistencies between parts of the report given that we have not been able to do that yet.
Yeah, I mean, for better or worse, this is not a preliminary report, which we need comment on, and then we're going to absolutely finalize. This is still a work in progress. So.
Yep. So, Marika, can we make sure that in the status of the document section and probably elsewhere, we actually reflect that?
This is Marika. I think I do try to outline it in the second paragraph, that indeed we haven't covered everything, but that, you know, we did want to take the opportunity to already put this out. And I think as well, as we said, you know, for those recommendations where we haven't reached agreement, I think we can point out very clearly, like, well, these are some of the options, but we haven't resolved this yet, so we're asking for public comment. So I can check as well if there are other sections where it would be appropriate to refer to that, no problem.
Right, and I think that's good. I think also pointing out that we understand there may be inconsistencies because we've been taking a piecemeal approach at this point, and, you know, please obviously point them. We want them pointed out in the comments, but, you know, we're kind of saying that there may be some inconsistencies ourselves, so we understand that.
Yeah, because this is Marika. Because, for example, one of the inconsistencies is that if you look at the recommendations, we there provide some edits, for example, to the existing bylaws, while more recently we've now discussed that maybe we need to go to a fresh approach, so that probably would be one of the inconsistencies, although at the same time it will provide people with an idea of what the group is thinking about. So it might be an inconsistency, but I think it's still helpful to have that there so people can see some language that, you know, formulates the idea that or the discussions that the work team has had.
So in essence, an intentional inconsistency.
Well, yeah, maybe. And another element that still needs to be added, and I'm planning to do that in the next couple of days, is as well our notes on the overarching issues, because I think for those, you know, we have a separate document, and I think it would be good to integrate that as well so people can see what we've already discussed, and I'll try to look back as well, because I think on some of those we've reached some recommendations. For example, I think on the supermajority, you know, the change to that, and so I'll look back there and try to pull from that as well any recommendations that we sort of have agreed on, and again, putting that in the kind of language like the work team is considering recommending, so making sure that people understand that this is still in discussion and not a firm recommendation, and I'll pull that back out then as well to the group so people can have a look at that. But it would follow the document that is already out for quite some time now on the overarching issues.
So, Marika, were you able to, if I remember correctly, and there's so many calls every week, you were not on the last call, correct?
Correct.
Were you able to listen to the recording? Because we did have some discussions on a couple of the outstanding recommendations.
No, but Margie gave me an update, but I probably need to check back because I made some changes to the flow chart on the basis of that, but I might have forgotten about the actual changes to recommendation, so I'll listen to the recording or check back with Margie on that.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, something Marika just said, that in a particular case, I don't remember which it was, we'll word it that the committee, the working team, is considering recommending. I think that needs to be a disclaimer on the whole thing, that even when we've come to closure because of the potential inconsistencies and that we haven't reviewed the thing as a whole, I think all the recommendations are potentially recommending. They're just different levels of confidence. But, you know, I wouldn't want it to be perceived that something that's there as a recommendation, because it gets no negative comments, will go in the final version as is, because we still have a lot of work to do on the overall process.
This is Rick. I'm happy to make that prefix for all the recommendations and have a work team is considering recommending.
It may be stronger for a few, but I think it applies to everything.
We'll just have a disclaimer on the whole. We'll just stamp it on there, and we'll make it a watermark.
Yeah, we've invested 4,000 person hours in this, but there's no real. Don't take any level of confidence on it.
Oh, that would be a shame. Okay, So, Marika, do you understand where we should go forward with this? And I think you...
this Marika, so, I mean, there are two things we can start now. I mean, I did send out an updated version of the flow chart. So I don't know if people had a chance to look at that or if there are any comments on that. I'll still need to develop the stages 3 and 4, I think. And again, I understood that there was a desire, and that was also the intention, to have a kind of legend on each page that provides some bullet points on what each recommendation actually means. But as we're still formulating those, I didn't really want to go and duplicate work for myself to, you know, already put stuff in there that then I would need to go back and change. So the idea is, once we have some language there, create a kind of legend that, you know, gives people some guidance on each of these recommendations on what is actually intended with those. And the other option is to go to the different recommendations that were sent out by email. I can pull them up in the Adobe Connect, and we can, you know, go through them and even wordsmith them, or people making suggestions for changes, and go through that that process. So,
so what I think I want to do is, if you could pull up the flow chart and just go over the changes that were made based on a conversation last week, and then let's go to the specific ones that Avery and Alan had commented on, and then if we have time, we can go through some other ones as well. Okay, that is really small on my screen.
You should be able to enlarge it.
Yes. Okay, yes. Thank you.
So the main change that was made here is to basically deepen out the follow other GNSO process options that you discussed on the call. If you move to page 3, you see there the breakout of other GNSO process, and Margie tried to identify there the different options that there are. So you can either have a formation of a GNSO working group, in which case you would follow the GNSO working group guidelines. You could have the formation of a joint SOEC working group, in which case you would follow the charter, or the formation of a GNSO drafting team, which would also follow the charter. And we have another option because, you know, maybe there are other initiatives that we haven't thought about here that should be included. Or, again, this could be as well a we leave that other there so the community can add others to that list. And there I added as well that the presumption would be to have this notion of that, you know, if you don't want to develop, there's not going to be consensus policies at the end of the day, you know that very clearly at the outset, there are other avenues you should explore, and then those elements should go then probably in the rules of procedure.
Now, where would the recent Who Is work fall in that other stuff?
You mean the working group that was created, or the staff work that was done on the studies? Or which working group are you, or which initiative are you exactly referring to?
Well, I guess there was initially, there were many incarnations. But more recently, I guess there was a working group that called for these studies, right? So that's kind of the first other option there, the formation of a GNSO working group.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. So, Margie, you have a comment?
Yeah. When I was trying to put together this idea of what are the other processes that the GNSO Council follows, I didn't really have a good sense of the options, so I bet I missed something here. But also, too, I don't think it has to be exclusive. And in other words, you know, you still can have at the very end, other informal process or something, just to clarify that this isn't everything, because, the GNSO Council has a lot of flexibility. And I was just trying to capture some of the big ones that I could recall, but I certainly hope, you guys can look at it and see, what other type of process that we all recall the GNSO Council doing.
Yeah, and so I think it's good, and maybe we just put something like this is for illustrative purposes only. And really, this is kind of a little bit beyond our scope, is to really set forth all the other things that the GNSO could do. So it may not be that critical if we put kind of the disclaimer that, this is just what we thought of as examples, but, that's really not our purview, I guess. Not that people shouldn't comment on it or can't comment on it, but it's really like kind of a sidebar, essentially.
Right.
James?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. James speaking. And maybe I'm not fully getting the point of this particular page, but I'm trying to figure out where in the sequence the charter is drafted. I see that, you know, each of them end up where they follow the either the working group guidelines or a charter, but is there an intermediary step, or does that come before this entire diagram?
This is Rick. I think that depends partly on the initiative. If you look, for example, at the recently created YAS, which is a joint SOEC working group, that one was responsible for drafting the charter themselves, which is now being put back to the GNSO Council. So I don't know if we, you know, I'm not sure whether we can, there's a fixed process in these kind of groups that are not policy development process groups. So I don't know if there's a way, I mean, the GNSO drafting team is often actually responsible for creating a charter or having, I think actually the wasn't the IDN group, wasn't it as well a drafting team initially? So sometimes they're tasked to actually develop a charter or discuss issues, so they might, so it's hard here to do develop for each of these a very detailed process because it might vary depending on how the group is created or who has tasked it or who has instructed it to how to do its work.
Yeah, so...
Okay, well, I didn't mean to take us off track. I just, it looks like the charter is kind of falling from the sky in this box diagram, so...
You know, and that's a, it's a good point, James, and maybe we don't even need the second column of drafting a charter. Maybe it's just we just do the down column. Again, say it's illustrative. It's not really our purview. It's not really – it's just to illustrate what we meant with that box. And the other thing I don't see in that box, actually going back to the first page, is we had kind of talked about, and I don't know how exactly to represent it, but it's very possible – that after it follows another GNSO process, people realize, wait a minute, that is something that should go through the PDP process. So I don't know if it's kind of a dotted arrow or maybe people who are more familiar with these types of diagrams, but something basically allowing an arrow back to say that it could actually get back into the PDP process. Somewhere.
This is Marika. If you actually look at page 5, which is on stage 2, you see there that I've included that notion in, and if you look at the rejection of the PDP, I've put in their language that indeed says, like, yeah, if at that point the council decides, like, well, it's indeed, it's not a policy, you know, the outcome or the objective is not to have a consensus policy at the end of the day, so another process would be more appropriate, and indeed you would go back to the box. I thought as well of having an arrow back to that box, but I don't know if that makes everything too messy and it's easier to you know add that to the different stages, saying, look, if indeed it becomes clear that there's no consensus policy at the end of the day or that's not the objective, you know, other processes could be or should be explored. So I can try to add an arrow, but I think it might get very messy on the flow chart. But if anyone has some good suggestions on how to make that work, I'm happy to consider.
Okay. Sorry, you see, I'm looking at page 5. Where did you say that was?
If you look at the box on the right-hand side, rejection of the PDP, it says there, GNSO Council could also consider other GNSO process if it believes that a consensus policy is not a potential outcome or solution for the issue under discussion.
Oh, I think
so that would basically refer it back to that other GNSO processes box.
Oh, I think my point was a little bit different. It's already following one of the other GNSO processes, and through that, it recognizes, oh, wait a minute, we thought initially it wasn't going to be a consensus policy or it wasn't something that needed to, but you know what, this is actually a really good issue, and so we should put it back into the PDP. I think
okay. I see what you mean, but I guess, you know, then people just start again in the gray box. I don't know if you need an arrow, or you can have a two-way arrow, basically, that indicates, well, you know, once you go to the bottom box, there is a way back if you feel that, indeed, there is a consensus policy as a potential outcome as part of the issue identification, and then you just move back up again. That might be a way of having a two-way arrow.
Yeah.
Marika, where did you say the rejection of the PDP is? I can't find that.
On page 5?
Oh,
If you look at page 5, then you have the GNSO Council consideration of the issues report and vote initiation of the PDP, and then you have two options, basically. The Council says yes, and the PDP is initiated and a working group is created, or they reject it. And there you then have, like, one of the recommendations.
Sorry,
I just hadn't
gone that far.
Okay.
Okay, Alan, your hand's raised. Is it something, you had another comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have several ones. on page 3, I would recommend getting rid of all the second boxes. You know, we're calling this, you know, in case the first case, it's formation of a GNSO working group that's capitalized. It has to follow the rules. I think the second columns are don't add anything right now. I would definitely add in between the drafting team and other initiate studies, because I think that is one of the things we often talk about, and certainly in the case of who is an ongoing effort, we did that. And on other, I would remove the question mark. It's not a question of are there others. You know, the GNSO does have the ability to craft a new process as on the fly, so other processes as appropriate or something like that.
So I saw Avery put an X up, but I don't know if I saw it at the right time. Avery, which part of what Alan said did you not agree with?
I actually think that there's value there in having a second column. I mean, we are saying that this is just by way of example. Yes, you could have just an arrow with no box to indicate that there is something for a second column, but I don't see it doing any harm. I think that formation of a GNSO working group, follow GNSO working group guidelines, is a very good thing to have there. And, you know, with the others, it's reasonable. I mean, yes, I know they may not have a charter yet. There could be all kinds of complexities. You know, perhaps, you know, the arrow line should be a dotted arrow line, so for anyone that's into the whole symbology of these drawings, sort of say, it kind of goes here, but we're not saying it's precise. That's fine. But I think it does add some value to show that there are other processes.
It wasn't a strong opinion.
Right, okay.
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 Alan, I agree. We should take the question mark out of the other, because I think you're right. There was a third one, didn't you?
Initiate investigations or studies, I think, should be an explicit one of the ones that we know are in the repertoire now.
Okay. Marika, can you add that box?
Yep.
Okay. All right, Alan, I know you have
In terms of where this whole thing comes, this can come prior to the issues report. Instead of requesting an issues report, it can also come as the result of an issues report. I mean, we have had issues reports where we decide we are not going to initiate a PDP right now. We are going to initiate a study group or a working group or something to do something. And it can then loop back either back to request an issues report, or it can loop back to let's vote on the PDP now. I'm not sure we need to reflect that complexity in the chart, but I'm just putting on the table, you know, that all of these processes could happen in the middle of, after getting the issues report and before taking a formal vote on it, or we take a formal vote not to do it, initiate a PDP now, but I believe we could loop back on it without the issues report, a new issues report, I think. Certainly we've had discussions in council on saying we're not ready to do an issues report, we need to understand, or not ready to initiate the PDP, we do need to do some studies before.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what the registration abuse policy working group was set up to do, set up to find, I guess, the large issue of registrant abuse, I think. The large issue of registration abuse was brought up to council. The council realized, wow, this really covers a whole huge, broad area of potential topics, and then kick that out into this working group that Greg Aaron chairs to hopefully come back in their final report with recommendations of, okay, we think, it's only their opinion, that we these are areas that should the council should consider doing PDPs on in the future.
Now, I don't think we'd need to request a new issues report on each of those. That is, we can go back into the process, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about that, actually. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, we've had discussions, and going back to the domain tasting one, for instance, we had a discussion in council on should we start the process and the first step of the process is to gather information, or should we gather the information before deciding to start the process?
Yeah, that's actually a good, interesting question. I'm not sure we should tackle that now, but probably
no.
put that on the agenda for after we come out with this report, and using the registration abuse, because I think they're going to have their final report out by next week or 10 days. So it would be an interesting case study is to think about, okay, they've recommended PDPs on a number of items, and so how would they commence that? Would they have to do the issue scoping, or is that considered already done? Yeah, they would have to go through a council vote, right? But is the issues report council vote, or is it just the straight PDP council vote? Marika, you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, talking about the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, they're very clear that it would really start at the beginning of the process, because in their recommendations, where they make recommendations for PDPs, they clearly state request an issues report. So I think the assumption is, and that's the base on which the group has worked and you know, has been able to make progress, is actually not to try to really research the issue themselves or, you know, make policy recommendations, but try to actually scope the issue and put forward a very specific question that they would like to request an issues report on there where appropriate. So at least in that group there, I don't think there's the assumption that it would, you know, they would skip a step just because they were, as we tell them, a pre-PDP working group.
Okay, but it is okay. So that one, yeah. But it is possible, like Alan said, with the domain tasting, where there was some enough research to be done. There was enough research done for that would be otherwise in an issues report at the time that PDP was initiated, and so obviously not all of the investigation is done because a lot of that is done as part of the PDP, but. In using that one as an example, there was certainly a lot of research done, enough to start a PDP on it. So in theory, it is possible that when you follow another GNSO process, that you could skip some of the other steps. And that would also go to some of the comments that were received as far as the fast-tracking of issues. I'm not sure that's really a fast-tracking because it did go through a period of lots of investigation, but perhaps it's a way of cutting through and not requiring a new issues report.
I wouldn't want council to perceive that by saying we need a little bit more information before we can make the decision, that it cancels the whole process and needs to start over again.
Right. Marika?
Yeah, it is, Marika, because I think, you know, with the domain tasting, there was an issues report. But what I understood is that a lot of work was done, you know, before everything got started, so that actually the working group could work very fast because they already did a lot of pre-work. But I do understand that there was an issues report as such.
I didn't comment on the reality. I said there was a council discussion.
All right, so let's put that one off. Are there any other comments to the charts? And I think I want to thank Marika and ICANN staff. I think it's very helpful to look at this chart. Or series of charts, and so for people who are visual, it's certainly a useful tool. So, Marika, where in the report are you going to put that? Are you going to put that up? I'd like to see it closer to the front because I think.
Yeah, I think initially the idea was to have that in I think chapter 9 or 11, where we would talk about the bylaws. But I agree now we've moved more to the flow chart. you know, we could, for example, include the high-level overview in the executive summary and have the more detailed ones in the further down the report, or include them there as well. I mean, it's they take, of course, a lot of space, and it will take some space up in the report. So and just a note as well for the other stages, as there, I think, in those areas, there are especially still some question marks, or we haven't really gone through the length, I think, or the detail that we have on stage one and two. The following flowcharts might be a bit shorter, and that's areas where maybe in this phase two, where we'll be able to put some more detail in those charts once we've agreed on some steps and further recommendations.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear what others think, but I kind of like it up front because I'm not sure how many people are going to get into page 70 or wherever chapter 9 is. I think some people will just, because of lack of time, and not because of anything, mischievous or anything, but because of lack of time and just the realities, I don't think many people will get all the way through the report. Have it early on, I think, is a good idea. Marge?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on another, because we talked about this last week. The very first box for issue identification, where we say, is a consensus policy a potential outcome? We don't have a lot of room on this page, but the idea is that that's not the only way that you'd go through this. As we talked about last week, if we didn't really think we were going to do a consensus policy, people wanted the more formal process, to analyze an issue, to do something else, maybe best practices or something, that would still be an option. I just didn't really know how to reflect that in this chart.
Yeah, and Margie, I think that's right. I think we talked about, certainly if you want something to, and Alan's raised his hand, so he might say it better than I can, but essentially if you really want to get it up to the board and have them decide on something, there's strict rules that they have through this process, the PDP process, even if it is a recommended practice. Alan, let me stop talking. I'll turn it over to Alan because I think that's probably the point you're going to make.
Well, I was going to make a slightly different one, but it might cover that. I think we need a general disclaimer saying this is as complex as this is, it is an overview, and it doesn't show every possible path because we've already identified several that where we can go from the decision on initiation of a PDP, go to studies, and then loop back to somewhere else. There are a whole number of these where the paths shown are not the only path, and I think we need a general statement to that effect.
Okay, I think that's right. So back to the point I thought you were going to make because you've made it on...
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. Because you've made it on a lot of other calls, is basically that when you want something to go up to the board, really stress that the community is behind it, and then the board would have to approve it, or otherwise, they would have to have two-thirds,
right.
not go through all that process. I thought that's the point you were going to make, which you've made on other calls.
I could have, but I wasn't trying to at that point.
So, Margie, that's kind of what you were
I did make it in an email this morning, though.
Oh, good.
That's right. That was the point I was trying to make, is that we didn't really capture that idea here. This looks like it's only followed if a consensus policy is a potential outcome, but that's clearly not the intent. The intent is to make it fluid and flexible so that other issues could go through this process, but if a consensus policy is a potential outcome, you would have to go through.
Okay, and maybe that's best done in kind of a note in the draft as opposed to, or discussion in the draft as opposed to trying to put it in a box, because I think that box is already pretty full.
Right.
But looking at that upper left-hand corner again, it's wrong right now. Because right now it says if consensus policy is not a potential outcome, we do not follow the whole PDP route, and that is not necessarily true. And that's incorrect, technically, actually. No, so maybe making the upper left gray box vaguer appropriate issue for a PDP and then describe that in the paragraph.
Yeah, I see that. Because you could interpret it the way you just read it. So I'll try to work with Marika on how to phrase that so that you don't have that obvious.
Okay. Or maybe, taking what Alan just said, is it appropriate, whatever the words you want to come up with, is it appropriate for a PDP? And then you could put, for example, or EG or whatever, consensus policy. Because I think it would be good for people to see that in the box. Because that's what a lot of people will be thinking about anyway.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps the whole process was invented for consensus policies, but it's now wider than that. So using that as the example is a fine is quite fine.
Okay. Any other questions on the flowchart itself, on any of these five pages?
So just as Marika, just to know that, so the other ones should hopefully follow shortly on stages, I think, 3 and 4.
Okay. So I thank you for doing those. I think they're helpful. What I think I'd like to turn to now is to go through Avery's notes on, or Avery's emails on those recommendations. So there are a lot of emails today, a lot of it related to another topic, which I commented on, which is Avery's, let's see, your input. Okay, so this is from probably an hour and a half ago. This is on the prioritization, it's a issue 11, resources and prioritization, is that the one?
The one I put up now is the one that Alan commented on as well, which is on the...
You've inserted it within Avery's. That's fine.
Okay, so we can start with that one. All right, so this is the efficiency and flexibility. So, Avery, do you want to just go into maybe a little bit of your comment and so just to explain it to the group? You may still be on mute.
I was talking into the mute. Thank you. Basically, I mean, this is a repeat of the position that I put it last time and basically wanted to reiterate the discussion. I do understand if I end up in a minority on it. I basically think that any range one puts is artificial, because things might take 2 weeks, might take 6 weeks. If we put 8 weeks as the maximum range, everything I know about project planning, you sort of say, well, okay, yeah, I can do this in 8 weeks, and because you don't know what new work is coming, you don't know what is anything, you tend towards the maximum range. It's the only reasonable thing for a project planner to do. On the other hand, if you sort of say to a professional staff, listen, we've got this one, these are the issues, we want these things looked at, et cetera, given your current workload, given everything else, how long is it going to take you? And basically they come back with a, we can do this with 6 weeks. And now I had mentioned in my answer, and then Alan mentioned that, well, he didn't want there to be a case, and then I said, of course, the council can negotiate with them and sort of say, 6 weeks, my God, that's way too long. Can you do it in 4? Nah, maybe 5, if we push it, et cetera. And there was a concern on Alan's part, which is a reasonable concern. I don't know how much it would happen, but it's a reasonable concern that if it wasn't the GNSO's own concern in the issue, it wasn't the GNSO's issue, they might just sort of say, you say you can do it in 8 weeks? Forget 8 weeks. Do it in 15. There's no real hurry, and that the negotiations could go in a very negative way for an issue that came in from another SO or an AC. I don't think that would happen, but, of course, I'm saying the liaisons are in the room for that discussion. If such a thing were to happen, that would just be, such a cause celeb out in the real world that, the GNSO would have you know, more egg on its face than it normally does, and I don't think that that would be a necessary problem. So, and so I'm still, though, very much into trusting the staff to sort of give a professional assessment of how long it will take them to do something given the difficulty of the task and the work that they're facing. Thanks.
So I'm going to go to Alan in a sec, but with regard to one of the items, I mean, couldn't we just say that whatever we come up with right now only applies to when the GNSO is requesting an issues report? Because, frankly, when another group requests an issues report, the GNSO Council is not really even involved necessarily. So it's more like – it's almost like an individual negotiation between the advisory committee, let's say it's the ALAC, and ICANN staff, as opposed to anything that involves GNSO Council, because it's not like ALAC's asking the GNSO Council to give them an issues report. ALAC is, in theory, just going to ICANN staff, or that's what they should be doing. Same thing with the board or another supporting organization. They would be doing the same thing. So anything we come up with here, isn't it really just guidelines for the GNSO requesting an issues report? And if that's the case, should we say it? Alan?
Yeah, I was going to say something like that. Just if we could also make a note when we're talking about this, the current bylaws are very confusing in how an AC requests an issues report. It says something like request from staff by sending it to the GNSO. It was read by many as having to be approved by the GNSO before staff acts on it. So we should just make sure the wording is clear. That was not the meaning and not the interpretation, but the wording is very confusing. That wasn't why I raised my hand, though. I think what you're suggesting is right. I think it should be a matter of negotiation between the requesting organization and staff, and without specifying how that happens or exactly at what point it happens. And I think I suggested last week, keeping the 15-day or making it 21 if you want, days as a minimum, but subject to agreement by the requesting organization. And I think that covers it. The reality is we do talk right now before. Perhaps several years ago that was not the case, but it's been the case in everyone I've been involved with, whether it's a GNSO or at large. And I think that's an equitable way of addressing it. If it goes to council, even if everyone is of the best heart, and we can't predict that in the future, number one, it's an issue which explicitly the GNSO did not request, and therefore there may be political issues or things going on. And second of all, even at best of times, it's going to add at least a month to the process, perhaps much more, depending on how frequent the GNSO meetings are.
So Avery had agreed with that and said, no one would ever expect to be quicker than a minimum. One thing, and then I want to go to Liz, because something you said that early on raised a comment or a comment from Liz. You know, one thing, because you did say 15 or 21 days, it's not really, you should have some guideline in there. And I think what you said is probably something that's consistent with what this group has said. And I'm just looking at 9A, Marika, where it says current deadline of 15 days after receipt of request is unworkable. Rather than saying it's unworkable, what we're really saying is the rigidity or requiring it to be done in 15 days may not be workable in all circumstances. I mean, in theory, it could be done in 15 days.
Plenty have been done in that time. The question is, do you get the quality product that all parties want?
Right. So Liz, you have a comment?
Yeah, mine was actually, thank you for making that comment, because I would have, but I wanted to go back to Alan's point, and I'm just a little uncomfortable with excluding the GNSO in the from the maybe decision-making process around an issues report request that comes from another organization having to do with the prioritization for just the following reason, and I guess I would put this in the form of a question and ask how you think it should be handled, but let's just say that the board requested an issues report from the GNSO staff today. I couldn't do it. with the resource work volume that is, I couldn't do it now. I would have to drop something else among the staff people that I have to do the board report, to do the issues report for the board. And if I stopped doing something else, you know, I feel like I'd have to consult with the GNSO about what to stop doing in order to meet, you know, if we just put this rule in place or this guideline in place relevant to the GNSO and then excluded the GNSO from involvement in a situation where it was a request from somewhere else, what would you suggest happen in that situation?
Yeah, and I'm not sure we're saying exclude the GNSO from having any or helping out staff, but can you imagine a case where, let's say, the GAC asks for the GNSO to consider something, asks for an issues report, and the GNSO doesn't want to for whatever reason and uses that as a chance to negotiate with staff? And
right, right. And I agree with Alan and you that that's a possibility. I just also am because I'm in the exact situation right now that you are describing with, okay, what if we got a request from the GAC or the board, and we'd want to jump on that, or, you know, what would I do? We just, you know.
Actually, from the GAC, if I remember back, this is going back a few years, but there was a request by the GAC directly to the board, actually. It didn't even want to go through the GNSO, but it was to go through a second WIPO, or WIPO had recommended adding INNs and country names to UDRP actions, and the GAC actually, and WIPO sent it directly to the board. I think the board wisely said this is a GNSO issue, and it should go to the GNSO as opposed to directly to the board deciding this. And I think that was very contentious because the GNSO, including the intellectual property constituency, did not want to tackle the issue at all. And I'm trying to remember what happened in that case. I think we created a working group, not a PDP process working group, but one that was comprised of some GNSO members. I think Jonathan Cohen was the GNSO person assigned to it, and there may have been one or two others. So it was like a cross SOAC group that was sort of created. So I don't see it that far-fetched that the GAC requests or any supporting organization or advisory committee has something they want the GNSO to tackle, but the GNSO does not want to tackle that. And can we really make the GNSO tackle it? I guess the answer we already said is yes, that, you know, we've already said that that's a legitimate way for an issues report to be generated. So how do we, does anyone have ideas, Alan, sorry, I'm looking at it, screen.
Yeah, to answer your particular question, the SO or the board cannot force the GNSO to do a PDP on something. All they can do is force the GNSO to consider the issues report. The GNSO at that point can say no, and it's dead until some other process kicks in at that point. So in terms of the problem Liz raised, though, of a staffing issue, what if the table is full and we get something else that's put on the table? And if someone on the board, with the support of the majority of the board, requests an issues report, presumably there has been some vague discussion with the overall on the overall topic with staff already, and they know this is going to be hard, and therefore when they request that issues report, they can put in a 60-day limit if that's deemed to be appropriate. If indeed the board wants an issues report and wants it now, within 15 days or whatever the minimum is in that we end up putting in the bylaws, that is absolutely no different than the senior ICANN management telling David Olive he has two fewer consultants starting next month because we're just in a budget-constrained situation, and the people are gone. Poof. And again, we have a situation where we have more work than there are staff to cover it, and that's a management decision which will have to be handled, presumably with interaction with the GNSO, if GNSO work is going to be handled. But reality happens, and you have to deal with it. So if the board has been adamant that this issues report is the highest priority thing that ICANN policy staff have to work with, then it is. and somehow one has to accommodate that. I can't see that happening all that often, but I don't see it any different than other actions which cause staff to be constrained.
Yeah, and it's you know, it kind of relates to a comment Aubrey had raised in another issue, I think, which is, and I have not been following, and it seems a little complex, but the whole GNSO prioritization, I have no idea how that's shaping up right now and just have not been able to follow it.
It's been punted. We have a process to put numbers on things, but not what to do with the numbers once we have them.
Right. Yeah.
That's the next step. You can run that working group if you like.
Who are you talking to?
I was talking to Jeff.
That's an insane group to run, Jeff. I recommend you run away.
That's why I said it.
Yeah. So, you know, so the two, just as an aside, the two groups I've now chaired was one of the original Who Is task forces and this one.
A great record.
Why can't I take like a...
Hey, what's your point, Jeff?
I don't know. Either I'm an ineffective chair or I've taken issues that have just are so complex.
We love Who Is. Come on. I love Who Is.
And
it was a joy, I'm sure.
And PDP is redesigned. The PDP is such a trivial activity. I just don't understand the problem.
Jeff, when you were in university, you probably never took any of those easy courses.
It's a machia to be working on these issues.
Yeah, it's a glutton for punishment, I guess. Okay. So did we cover all of the points? I think we covered Avery's points. We covered Alan's response. Marika, do you have enough to put in the options here that we talked about, or do we still need to go in a little bit deeper?
This is Marika. I think I have enough to add another option. So I guess one option would be indeed to have a new time frame or new time limit. One would be then to have the option for council and staff to negotiate, possibly with you know, subject to the requesting organization's approval or input. I think we had the notion of at least having a minimum maybe in the bylaws, but not a maximum time frame. So I think I have enough to put some options together. And then again, you know, especially Avery and Alan that have commented on that, if they can then provide their input or any edits that they think are appropriate, that would be helpful.
Yeah, for clarity, I was saying that there should be a maximum because, as Avery said, if you don't have a maximum, things grow. And things grow to whatever the maximum is, including infinity, I think. And the other one I said is it can be altered with the agreement of the originating organization. And, you know, that avoids the word negotiation and all sorts of other things.
Yes?
I didn't get my hand up in time. I didn't quite understand, Alan. I was against there being a maximum, because I think everything would tend towards the maximum. I support there being a minimum that no one would ever consider asking for less than that. But the maximum, my problem with maximums and ranges is that people tend to schedule to the maximum. It's just one of those human behavior traits. You know, I'm going to take as much time as I can.
I'm not disagreeing at all.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand.
I said maximum, but I wasn't saying a 60 or 90-day maximum. I'm saying a 15 or 20-day maximum, but it can be increased with the agreement of the originating organization, of the originator, whatever, of the request
for initiation. You mean a 15 or 20-day minimum?
No. Why do we need a minimum? If they can get it out in 7 days, fine. Right now, there is a maximum. I'm saying keep that maximum, maybe alter it somewhat, but add a rider saying it can be increased with the agreement of the issues report requester.
Okay. Aubrey, you want
to... I wasn't trying to debate it. I just wanted to get the word straight.
Okay, Aubrey, is that acceptable? Is that something that...
Not really. because basically what this says is it starts out with an initial expectation that they can do most of them within 3 weeks to a month. Now, maybe staff is willing to accept that expectation, but it basically puts them on the defensive each time of saying, yeah, I know we're supposed to get it done in 3 weeks, but this time, you know, it's going to take us longer, as opposed to it being a straight professional request. We've got this issues report. What will it take? You know, give us a week, give us an answer in a week, and then take it, unless it's absurd. But, you know, that's just my view on it. If they've got the maximum, basically they're always starting from a position of having to defend why they can't do it in that maximum. And unless, you know, Liz says, yeah, she's comfortable in that thing, I would tend to not want it. And, again, I'm speaking as a staff person in another environment.
Certainly not has not been my experience in the last number of issues report, where there's always a good discussion of what will it take to have a quality product.
Yeah,
I don't think we've ever had any disagreement, either council or at large.
So why do we need a maximum?
This is Marika. If I can just suggest, because I think we, you know, this is what we've been discussing, we can put the two options in the recommendations and have people comment on it. So, you know, unless, you know, I don't think at this stage we will reach an agreement, so maybe the way forward is just to outline those two options, and then again, Avery and then Alan would ask you to look if I've worded your suggestions appropriately, but that might be a way of you know, reflecting those two and then try to get some comments on that. And if I can make a small comment myself on Alan's point, I appreciate the idea of a maximum, but I would strongly encourage you to at least increase that to a minimum of 30 days, because I think 15 days indeed is feasible if a lot of pre-work is done and a lot of discussion is taking place, but 15 days is really short for a good issues report, especially in, you know, the current environment with so many other things going on. So if we can increase the minimum a bit, that I think from a staff perspective,
yeah,
that would be greatly appreciated.
The only reason to have a maximum there, regardless of what the number is, as long as it's not too large, is to set an expectation that this is something to be done moderately quickly. It's not something to put onto the back burner.
Okay.
And just as having a short time puts pressure on staff, having no time at all puts the requester at a disadvantage in trying to get it done moderately quickly.
I have no problem with the word timely.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's go on.
Yeah, I know. Well, Margie's got a last comment, so let me get her to comment. And I think Marika's got enough to put all of these as options, and we'll let others weigh in from the community on this. Margie?
Yeah. Actually, Marika made the point I was making. I mean, 15 days, it makes it look like we're doing a bad job if we're not even close to 15 days to be something that's you know, reasonable. So that what Marika said.
That's fine.
And hopefully, you know, in our discussion, we've talked about all the work that should be done even prior to the requesting of an issues report. There's a lot of discussion in stages one or two, can't remember which one, about all the pre-work that really should be done even prior to an issues report. So hopefully that's the case. All right, jumping ahead, Marika, did you have, I know you had at one point you had the next thing up there, but I think you went back.
Yeah, I can pull up the other one that Avery made a comment on, if you give me 1 second.
Okay.
This one. I do want to point out that, you know, it would be really helpful if we can stop maybe 5 minutes before our usual time, as most of us need to get onto the GNSO council call.
I was going to request that, too. Thank you.
Give you guys a chance to host yourselves for that wonderful call. I would like to be on it, but, you know, I'm not on the council. Okay.
Are observers really not allowed?
Yeah, they really should have broadcasts for those, like they do for the AOC meeting.
Well, if you called in, would we really refuse you access?
That you should.
Just to test it out. You know,
you're allowed to sit in on an in-person one. Why is a teleconference different?
Same thing with the board, right? I don't know. You know, and I would like to be there to answer questions if there are questions about my email that was sent around, but. Separate subject. This one is on, where are we here? Maximum number of issues to be taken into consideration at the same time. So that's what we were talking about here. And Avery?
Yeah. I have been following the prioritization stuff because, you know, it's something I felt guilty about after my tenure on the council because I always put off talking about it because I thought it'd be confusing and hard. And we had priorities that were well fixed, so I could escape it. So I've been interested in this, though not participating. And with what I see being set up now, which is the, you know, the list of acceptable projects and then a ordering process, and it really doesn't matter how that ordering is done. I think one scheme, the scheme they've got, is a fine scheme for attaching objective numbers to something. What I haven't seen anywhere, and what we sort of have to understand, is how a PDP generally comes up as a, you know, non-blocking event. There is a crisis, there is an event, there is something that is all of a sudden burbled up to the surface and it needs to be worked on. Now, how, and then there's the voting on, do we do it, do we not do it, do we put it off? But I see no relationship between that and their prioritization scheme. So if you've gone through the process, and you know, Liz was referring to it earlier, she's got a priority of things to work on. She's fully booked out in terms of things. All of a sudden, this new job ticket comes, gets opened, and where does it go? And there's nothing in their, at least I see nothing in their prioritization scheme that says, no matter what the prioritization scheme, every time a new issue comes up, we have to go through an exercise of fitting it into that scheme somewhere. And so what we're doing and what they're doing, I don't see the connection. I don't see how, I'm just confused about how to interconnect them. And that was a programmer speaking. I don't understand.
Let me, Marika, I think you were, I don't remember if this is something we discussed or whether you kind of put that in as a placeholder. Do you remember, Marika?
What are you specifically referring to?
Well, I think we put in as options, you know, you had said for discussion in the email, right? Do we want to defer the recommendation to a second phase?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, I'm not very clear either yet on what the result of the prioritization exercise is going to be and you know, how that will affect PDPs or you know, if that will be a separate category. So I don't know, and maybe, yeah, that's why I put it in as a suggestion. Maybe we need to see how that prioritization exercise works out and if that's indeed a solution to deal with it, with the current workload and might, you know, avoid as well overkill or community overload on the number of PDPs going on. But to be honest, if you look at the prioritization list, the majority of working groups are actually other initiatives. We currently have, I think, 3 PDPs going on, and a lot of the other work is other issues that, you know, the GNSO needs to deal with or has been requested to deal with. So that's, I guess, another element of that discussion.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, I mean, on that very last point, hopefully at least some of them are due to GNSO reorganization and ultimately will drop off the list and we should go back to real work being the majority of what we're doing. I have a solution which is both exceedingly satisfying and exceedingly dissatisfying at the same time. Our parent's parent, that is, we report to the PPSC, which reports to the GNSO. The GNSO has charted a prioritization group, which is supposed to take on as its next task, figuring out what to do with the numbers. I say we defer to them at this point and don't try to do something in parallel. It doesn't produce the answer. It doesn't convince some of us there will ever be an answer. But someone else is actively working on it. I don't think we should be trying to do something in parallel.
Okay. Aubrey, I think you might be on mute again.
stop muting myself. I actually agree. I would just recommend also that we send an explicit question to the council or to the PPSC or to the work group or whoever it's appropriate for us to communicate with, saying, huh, how is this supposed to work?
Or pointing
out, as opposed to just leaving it open.
Pointing that we're leaving a blank place in our recommendation for them to fill in.
That's assuming that they read it.
Well, yeah. I meant our explicit note should say.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. If that's what we're going to do, we should make it explicit, and we should send it to them directly with that paragraph highlighted saying, okay, guys, put your heads together and answer our question.
Jeff, send it to the chair of the PPSC.
I could do that. That's pretty easy. I was thinking more to the prioritization group.
Yeah, but the chair of the PPSC has to do that because the prioritization group is on a peer with him.
Actually, I might need to actually send it to the council first to see whether I'm able to send it to the prioritization.
That's true. As long as it doesn't involve travel.
Yes, no, not face-to-face, unless it's at a ICANN meeting. I think we are getting beyond the point of no return. So, all right, Marika, do you have enough on that one?
Yep, I think so.
All right, in order to give a break to those that have to get on the council call, and let me actually respond to a couple of questions I got that are going to be discussed during the council call, I would suggest that we break early. I am going to need to I may not be able to join next week's call, or I may not be able to join the full time. So I may be asking, I think James might have dropped off, so maybe I'll just assign him to be the chair for next week, since he can't say no.
Good move.
Anyway, I'll talk to James. And
tried and true policy.
What's that?
That's a tried and true practice.
Exactly. I think he did it okay. Well, actually, he only had it once before, and I think there weren't enough people to actually have a call. So
no,
he
actually chaired one before that, I think. There was one that wasn't canceled much earlier, I think. Anyway.
All right. Thank you, everyone, and have fun on the council call, and I will talk to you all soon.
Jeff, before you hang up, did you see my last note on that subject?
No.
Okay, I was just pointing out that Avery said, why are we talking about this on the PDP working team? You said, and you agreed maybe it wasn't appropriate. I think it's exceedingly appropriate. I think, to use the words I used in my email, this is the poster child rationale for a fast-track PDP.
Ah, okay. So let's get comments on that on the email as to it relates to that topic. I also had thought it may relate in the sense of what happens when working group sends a report to the council. You know, we already recommended that the council should not be making changes, but what if they do? And
yeah, I mean, I disagreed with your letter in general. I think what council has done is quite appropriate, because any counselor has the right to say, oops, there wasn't enough time to consult. I do want the vote deferred. It doesn't address the public comment period, but we don't have a formal mandate to subject every GNSO opinion to the public's opinion.
Well,
I said it in my email. I just wanted to bring up the fast-track PDP, as I think it is a classic example of something almost everyone agrees to. We just have no mechanism to force the board to address it. So,
yeah, I think there's a dispute as to whether what that group had brought up was not something that is policy. I know the IPC, like Christina, has said that there are issues with that. So whatever.
Yeah.
I don't like the council, it's my own opinion, but I don't like the council forming a work team that deviates from its initial charter and then comes up with something because of artificial deadlines, and I really call them artificial, because this is not going to be the last egg. it's not the last time to get an opinion. And I don't know of any other circumstance where the council as a whole has commented on a specific DAG recommendation and passed it as a resolution. So what makes this so important that the council has to pass a resolution ordering staff to change the DAG, which has never been done before? And still, when the council speaks, whenever it speaks, people assume that it's got broad support from the community.
Yep.
And in this case, and it may at some point, but in this case, there has not been a demonstration of broad support.
No, I disagree with it. I mean, I totally disagree with what you're saying. I think there are times when the representatives of the stakeholder groups can say something. And whether this is one of those times or not, that's up to the council to decide. And yes, I totally agree. They have the option to go back to the, you know, say we need more time and go back and canvass, you know, their stakeholder groups. But I do believe that stakeholder groups, that because otherwise everything's got to go for a full public comment. We might as well just have, you know, group voting on everything.
I think PDP should, not PDP, I think the council should be doing more of this, not less, but we need to establish the process.
And having a motion that comes up 7 days before, which is the first time.
Well, and that's why there's this process, you know, standard process thing within the council that has been accepted, though it's not written in stone anywhere, that any time any one of the stakeholder groups says, listen, 7 days was not enough to get the view of our stakeholder group, you know, table this until the next meeting, that is never been objected to that I understand. And so that gives another 3 weeks for the stakeholder group to do its thing and make a decision. And you know, also, this is not ordering. This is asking. And yes, it does not have the force of a consensus policy. And I think everyone from the staff and the board know it. It's just the stakeholder group saying, listen, we noticed the problem here. We're asking you to fix it. If they come back and say no, that's...
But why does that have to be done through the council? Why can't the drafting team that noticed
we can continue this, but I can't continue right now.
Right.
So
yeah, I agree.
I could continue with you forever because neither of us is in the meeting, but that's a fine point.
then enjoy and document what you decide in the end. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. Everyone can hang up now if you don't want to listen. And frankly, we should turn off the recording. So, Aubrey, let's continue this in Brussels, I guess.
Oh, sure, and over a beer even.
Or multiple.
They got good beer there.
Beer and chocolate, too, and french fries.
Works for me.
All right.
Yeah, I'll talk to you more about it.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Tim.